What's up, Print Hustlers? Bruce from Printavo. Welcome to another Print Hustlers Printavo podcast episode. I'm actually really excited about this. I'm Bruce, your host. We've got Stephen Farrick from Campus Inc., our co-host, and we've got two very special guests today with us, one all the way in over in New Zealand, one all the way over in Los Angeles. We've got Rum Walia and Mike Modgal from Supacolor. Thanks, guys, for joining us.
Thank you for having us.
Yeah, no, good to be here.
Supacolor. First, just what is it and how did you guys create the business?
Supacolor is a hybrid transfer, which enables people to screen print lots of, or print transfer lots of colors onto garments, items, caps, all of that sort of thing. We started off the business about 5 years ago. I'm a screen printer and an embroiderer. And we were playing around with it, trying to get it going in my shop. And my business partner in Supacolor, Bill in New Zealand, he managed to combine a digital print with a traditional screen print, which gave us a great transfer. We started selling it to a whole lot of other people in and around New Zealand. Some of my Australian friends that I knew, they said, oh, we want to get on that. Could we buy that? And so we started selling it to them. And it sort of mushroomed out from there. It really was a company that was born out of being a screen printer like all of our other customers are in America and New Zealand and all that sort of thing. It was because I needed to buy the transfer and sort of simplify my life.
That's amazing. That's amazing. And Rum, how did you get involved with it? Tell us about yourself.
I have my shop here in LA, and at the time I was using Printavo with Bruce and company and running my business out here where we specialized in heat applied products. And we were printing our own transfers and making patches and very specialized products for heat application. And we had a common person who knew us, and that person was in Hong Kong. And he decided that he was going to make an introduction to Mike and myself. And one day Mike just walked through my door and he's like, hey, how you doing? and that's how it all started. But we sat down and we started talking about, you know, what we were both doing. And I guess, you know, the type of transfer that Supacolor is it's really the holy grail of transfers. And at that time, my partner and I, we were trying to create the same exact type of product. We were a few millimeters off, which in this world is everything. And Mike just pulled out a Supacolor transfer out of his bag and he put it on the table and he says, look, we've made it. It's done. What do you want to do now? And so at that point, I was like, well, you know, I'd like to join the party. So let's do this. And that's how we teamed up to bring Supacolor to the U.S. That's kind of how it all went down.
That's awesome. So like Michael, had you already started Supacolor and then, or were you still ideating on like the whole concept of it? Tell us about that when you brought it to Rum.
So by the time I got to Rum, we'd been making it for probably 3.5 years. We'd gotten a lot of bugs out of the system. We'd gotten better machinery. We'd really got sort of like the process quite dialed in. And I'd go to trade shows like ISS a lot and a lot of the American shows and that. And every time we went to the shows, you would see where the gaps were in the market and there was no product that existed like Supacolor. I used to go home and tell my wife, I'm like, we're going to go to America. I'm going to set up a business over there. And she's like, you're dreaming. Nobody does that. We sat down. We convinced our business partners at the time that it was a good look. I committed us to some machinery. And I said, look, if we don't go to America, then, you know, we can use these machines somewhere else. Don't worry about it. I think that was August 2 years ago. And then we sort of floated up, saw Rum. We thought we were pretty good at the transfer. But like, if I look back now at the thing that we were making back then, it probably wasn't the same as what we're making now. What's been really interesting is the delivery aspect of Supacolor is the most interesting thing for screen printers, because if you deliver in 7 days or 8 days or 10 days, you can't help somebody help their customers. It's never an option for a screen printing shop. I mean, like, Stephen, your screen printing shop, what's your lead time normally? A week? 5 days?
A week, and that's why I got same day shipping.
Yeah, that's it. And so I suppose when we started shipping to Australia, we would make the transfer. The order had come in on Monday. We would ship on Tuesday. They'd have it on Wednesday. So that was the whole model that we sort of built it around. It was the speed to market. And what it did is it fitted in with people who had businesses like yours and mine and all of that, because it meant that I could still maintain 5 days. All other transfer companies aren't like that. They've got proofing processes and they've got other processes and layers and they've got complex pricing models. And so it's just it's a difficult thing. So it never ended up. So people would buy DTG machines, they'd buy EcoSol machines, they'd buy a whole lot of other sort of like equipment like that. And it's interesting because, like, if you run a screen print shop and you've got Supercolor, it just helps you put better work on your screen printing machines, because some of the tricky technical stuff you can just Supercolor off, you know, with lots of colors, lots of fades, technical garments, all of that sort of stuff. So it was such a good story. And meeting Rum was just such an awesome, awesome thing. And Marcella, they pretty much gave us a turnkey shop. You know, they said, we've got some room in the other end of our building, you could take that. And Rum helped us out with all the regulatory things. I think it took us about half an hour to get a bank account, you know. And
only in America.
Only in America, right? And away we went. And I came up for sort of 5 weeks at the start, and I've been in and out ever since. And I'm really enjoying it. America's, the market in America is a beautiful thing. New Zealand, we've got 5 million people, so we don't have customers. You guys have just got customers after customers after customers that are just waiting for people to sell them Supercolor.
Can you talk a little bit more about the process of creating it, like why your transfers are better and how you came across that secret sauce?
In my company, Embroidery Works, we'd been making water-based transfers for probably 3 or 4 years before Supercolor. New Zealand's a short-run market. So we do 20s, 30s, 40s, 50s all day long. And so somebody would come in and they'd want to transfer for sort of, I don't know, 20 units, and they'd want 6 colors in it. And my guys would spend all day printing that. And so in my travels, I found some of the ingredients for what is Supercolor now, and I'd bring them back and we'd try them out, and we couldn't get the two layers to line up. The difficulty is the digital to line up with the screen printing part, and getting it to happen regularly because the tolerances are quite fine. And Bill's an old school screen printer, and him and his screen printer, Jason, they just ended up being very good at sort of making that work. And at the start, it was a very manual process. And then later on, it became a lot more of an automatic process. It's a water-based transfer. It's a traditional transfer in that sense. Like, the Europeans use it on a lot of their soccer shirts and that sort of thing. Mm-hmm. We don't skimp. We make it's got a lot of layers in it, so it's got a lot of thickness. So that's why it washes so well, and it's very robust in the wash. It's not like a plastic transfer because it's fully cured, and so when you hit it with a heat press, it doesn't melt again. It's cured, so it doesn't lose its opacity. So if somebody's pressing it and they make a mistake or the transfer doesn't stick, they can just go back and hit it as many times as they like, and it'll never change color. It's soft. It's got a really good tensile strength. It's a proper old school transfer with a new spin on it.
Got it. Gotcha. That's really interesting.
So could a, you know, like, someone's listening at home and they, like, for instance, we have a Roland VG540 54 inch, and I hate doing printable heat transfer because I can never get my cut lines right, and I hate it. Are you guys then using, like, transfer paper and then screen printing an underbase and then digitally doing something on top? Like, if you could say, can you tell us a little bit of that process? I don't think I'm going to be able to pull it off in my shop.
It's a little bit of a black box, but, like, we take the Mylar that we used and we digitally print that, and then we go and then we screen print backers, we screen print whites, and we screen print the glues on the back. And it's gotcha. It's a layered process, right? So it's one color at a time. So we spend a lot of time sort of, like, screen printing whites and glues. There's a little bit more to it than that, but, like, it's sort of something that we haven't sort of, we don't let people in our shop. We don't sort of take them around. The level of machinery that we had to purchase to get it to the level that it was, it hasn't been a cheap exercise. It's, I suppose, enabled us to make it as inexpensive right. as it is, because we've got the process pretty dialed.
So then, like, Rum, when you started this in, like, the States now, did you think it was going to be what it was? Were you like, I'll go to a couple trade shows? Like, what was your mindset going into all this? Like, it'll be a side hustle. Talk to us about that.
When it first happened, there was a lot of talk about me shutting down my shop and not being able to do anything else but Supercolor, because I just knew in my heart and in my mind that it was going to be a huge thing. It was going to be a massive success. Just because of my background in heat applied products, I was printing water-based transfers. I knew how hard it was to make. We were doing large runs, short runs, everything. And then, you know, when you're in the pursuit of something and then it's finally there and you can see it, you just kind of know the writing's on the wall that this is actually going to happen now. What I understood at that point was that it was all about the execution. that if I could put the right marketing plan in place and get the best people around me, we were going to be able to make a big splash in the States. For me, it's not so much about what a great product it is. That is there. For us, we look at Supercolor as an experience more than anything. And we want to make sure we deliver the best experience to people, whether that's our customers, our employees, our vendors, our partners, anyone that's really involved with us. We want to make sure that we leave a positive energy and a really great experience in terms of how they use them. You know, the experience for us starts when you first see the brand, but it continues to when you press it, to when you wear it, to when you feel it, and how it makes you feel just about being a part of it. And so that's what it was all really about for me, was how could I articulate that and translate that into our market over here. And, you know, that just really just came organically for me because I love the product.
Sure. What were some of the growth challenges in LA and bring the product over? Because honestly, I've seen Supercolor around a lot on the Facebook groups. I mean, you guys sponsored Print Hustlers kind of last year. A lot of people that I know that saw you there started using you very heavily. I'm assuming on the back end, there's been just good problems and keeping up with that growth.
First and foremost, in any business, it's always about the people. We wanted to surround ourselves with the absolute best people. So finding those people, it took us some time. We made some hires that didn't always work out well. It was a very painful lesson.
Well, like on the sales or account management?
Mostly on the production printing side. Mm-hmm. You know, ironically, the product sells itself, you know, and it like you guys said, it was like, you know, it just caught on fire. And after that, like, you know, just coming to the Printavo conference, that was like the thing that was the, you know, we just catapulted from there. We just had such a great bounce from that event because you have a captive audience of people that understand printing, decorating, branding. And when you put something in front of those type of people and you say, here's an excellent product, this is why it works, it's the Swiss Army knife of branding or decorating, and you can use it for just about anything to fill in the gaps in your business. Those people, they got it. So we took off from there. The real challenge for us was living up to the expectation of the experience we wanted to deliver. And so that meant that if we tell you that we're going to ship next day, we better ship next day. Nobody really cares if your machines are down or you're low on Mylar or ink or any of that stuff. Yeah. Nobody has any real compassion for your struggle because you said you could do it, so you better do it. You know, the equipment is great and the materials are awesome, but it's the people that make the difference in what we do. And so that we finally kind of clicked maybe like 8-9 months into it. And we started like really assembling our crew. I would say that like late last November, October, that's when like we really started to feel the magic in terms of everything starting to come together. And then after we went to ISS, it was just like, boom, at the start of the year, it was like,
off to the races.
Like a rocket, yeah.
How did you find the right people there? Because that's always a tricky thing with every business.
At first, we were looking in all the same places everybody looks. You know, you're trying to find people that have experience doing certain things, and you're trying to convert them into what you do. And, you know, there's some similarities. You know, we're screen printing at the end of the day in part of our process, but your typical screen printer is not going to be able to do everything that we do. Now, there's a lot of unlearning that needs to take place and relearning that and training that needs to happen with us. But just in like things like your shipping department, we were trying to find people who had experience in shipping, but that wasn't really what we needed. We found success in the fast food industry. People that weren't successful or were working in the fast food industry were tremendous at working under pressure. They're looking at screens on the wall. They know what order is next and what goes with what. And the burger's out first, but the fries come out later. But the two go together into a package and then they need to go out. And so when we started finding those type of people that were, oh, I get this. It's not the same thing, but it's the same concept. That was like click number one. That was the first thing that kind of like went off. And then, you just start trying to fill the other positions in the same way. We are not afraid of the fact that there are going to be people that we hire that don't have experience doing what we do, because for us, it's a blank canvas. And if you're a printer, you love a blank canvas. So.
Wow. So you make a lot of parallels to the food industry, which I think are very relevant in our industry. Mike, like, one of the early things you talked about was speed. And for me as a printer, you guys are on the West Coast. We're 4 days of ground shipping if we were to UPS ground something. But if I order something today, it could be here by Tuesday, Wednesday. Talk to us about why you were so crazy about speed and the challenges around that, because you burn some cash just shipping quickly, but you guys make it a very easy threshold to say, oh yeah, it's $10, whatever, second day. Talk to us a little bit about that, because that I think is something very special that you might have just went over a little too quickly.
At the end of the day, when you enter a new market with a new product, everybody discovers exactly and can make the other product, and you get competitors and all that sort of carry on. The difference between, I suppose, us and our sustainability is all about that speed. And it's all about working with pace. We got it earlier on in New Zealand, and we had to because we had some Australian people that were really pushing us hard to get the speed. And so what happened is it put a whole lot of pressure on our business, and then we had to adapt and work out how to do that. Once it had sort of clicked and we've worked out how to do that. So in your screenshot, you don't run it empty, right? You've got 5 days, 6 days, you've got a pipeline of work and sitting in front of you, correct?
Yeah.
And so one of the scariest things of Supercolor New Zealand in the early days is they'd go home and there's no pipeline. It's gone. They've shipped it, right? So there's no forward work sitting in any of the queues. And then what would happen is tomorrow morning some work would arrive and we'd start printing it. And then at the end of the day, it's all gone again. And it was funny because our turnover was a little bit lumpy in the early days because we didn't quite have enough customers. But it was lumpy not because they were doing a bad job or things were holding up. It was just that they were emptying it every single day. Touching on what Rum was saying before, right? When we went to LA, LA's like, it's the second thing, right? And you think you know what you're doing. But we replicated machineries, processes, software, you know, everything. And it didn't work like New Zealand did at the start. And we're like, what did we do wrong? Everything's the same. You know, you walk around and it's like it's exactly the same. And I'm sitting there and me and Ram were talked about it a lot. And it's like, man, we totally forgot about the people.
Yeah.
And getting people to work. And so it's like a kitchen. And so when you go to a restaurant, there's a whole lot of dudes in a kitchen that are doing that thing. And a screen printing shop is not normally like that. Screen printing shop is you've got some guys in the office. You know, you've got your pre-press guys, you've got your screen printing guys, you've got your unpacking guys and all that sort of thing. So with Supercolor, we're making a simple product, and it's like a kitchen. Orders come in, they make them in a hurry, and then they ship them out. And they clean it out at the end of the day. When they go home, they clean the kitchen down, and then they walk out. And getting people to understand that came from a screen printing background in America was probably kind of challenging. You agree with that, Rob?
Yeah, no, for sure. But there's another component to this, and with the speed. And number one, we all know about the Amazon effects, and we don't really have to dive into that too much. But you know, people want their product now, and we also knew if we were going to win the hearts of screen printers that traditionally didn't like transfers because they either didn't feel right, they didn't have a good hand, or they were hard to deal with or hard to work with because of the nature of pressing, we knew that we had to eliminate some of the obstacles one by one. And one of them was speed, because if you're a screen printer, you can load up on your wheel and you can on your carousel and you can do a number of shirts quickly within a certain amount of time. And so we needed to make sure that the product, A, got to them quickly, so that if it got through them by the fourth or fifth or sixth day and there wasn't enough time for them to press several garments, that it would lose in their mind in that sense. And then the other thing was it had to be quick to press. So 10 seconds, 12 seconds, and it had to be fairly goof-proof in terms of, anybody could do it. You could literally train a person and have them start pressing Supercolor right away. And so the speed became the thing that we really wanted to emphasize. But, you got to have quality and all of those other things. Those are foregone conclusions. Yeah. But the speed is really the thing that we really focus on a lot.
So, print shops are obviously managing their pipeline. And at a certain point, we push jobs back or whatever. the fact that every day you could wake up and you could have 1,000 jobs and the queue is zero. How do you guys manage that so that it doesn't get out of control? Meaning when everyone watches this the next day, you guys might get blown up with transfers, hopefully, right? But like, how, because I go into my shop every day and I can see it, I can visualize it, but like, it's like you're walking this something blind and then you're expected to just do it on a dime and with the same precision and quality and all that. How do you manage that on a day to day without losing sleep?
What makes it difficult for us is the longer run transfer jobs, 2,000, 5,000, 3,000, and especially in the bigger format. The way that we manage that is like, we might massage those jobs around, but the jobs that are, so like 90% of all of the jobs that go through Supercolor, 20s, 50s, 80s, 100s, 200s, our average invoice would probably be what, Rum, 40 units, 50 units?
Yeah, somewhere around there.
You know, if you think about the stuff, Stephen, that you don't want to screen print, what do you not want to put up on your carousel?
Anything under 50 pieces, more than 4 or 5 colors, yeah.
There you go, right? And so if you use Supercolor, what that does is that helps you extend your carousel efficiency. But what we're getting in terms of Supercolor is we're getting the stuff that you don't want to print, which is normally smaller, shorter runs. Now, we're okay with that because that's our model. That's how, if you look at, if we logged in and looked at our dashboard right now and looked at all of the jobs that were sitting in there, it's all short, punchy runs, you know? And again, there are some longer ones. We got a little bit slammed this week with some bigger runs, which we had to sort of move around in. We've got a few more machines in New Zealand and we've got some more machines coming for the USA shortly. As the demand goes up, we're going to resource it. We're going to put more machines in. We're going to put more sites in. We're working on our second site in the USA now. It's a tough thing, but when you're committed to it, that's how you've got to manage it. And every single day, the conversations are all around, is this stuff going out? Are we meeting our expectations? Are we making sure that the people that we're not meeting our expectations on, we're communicating with?
And what was funny about this is I didn't even know we were going to interview you guys. And I was like, we did something that I absolutely didn't want to screen print. But literally, it was 2 full color sleeves. I mean, we're talking, it would have been 7 or 8 color sim process and like a 10 color sim process job on like 150 items where it was like, this sounds awful. But we were able to get like the streetwear look. The transfers felt amazing. It was like the butterfly one, if you guys saw it. I'll have to send a picture of it. I wasn't scared of selling it. Like a customer came to us and said, I want this, this, and this, and this. And I said, all right, they're going to be $65. And they said, okay. And I'm like, sweet. And don't get me wrong, that was a big order with you guys on transfers, but I had no issue doing it because I felt confident in it. I think that was a big thing for me to get over, was knowing that we could start offering it. I don't know.
Yeah, no, that's really interesting. You say that because people are sometimes a little bit shy to give us their most complex jobs, but we welcome that. That's like the thing that we're hungry for. We're like, give us your hardest job. Let's print it for you, and then let's see how it goes. And in our first year, you know, you're trying to make, you know, you're trying to make some great connections in terms of bringing people on and earning their trust. And that was how Mike and I did it. We're like, send us your artwork. We'll print it. It doesn't matter how complicated it is. Free floating text, no problem. We can print as small as 1 millimeter, unlimited colors, unlimited gradients. I don't know how many times I must have said that in a day, but ultimately that's the thing that really like won people over, is that we were able to take those very complex designs and guide them into how to press them onto the garments to get a really great finish.
You guys have talked about a couple different locations. You just said that you're expanding a couple places in the US. Obviously, you've got Australia, New Zealand. You talked about UK. I mean, are you able to say, you know, the scale of maybe how many transfers are you guys doing now? I don't know, in a month.
I honestly don't know, but I do know that we're now, I think, the largest user of the raw materials for our process and pretty much the world. New Zealand probably makes 12,000 a day. Rum, you're probably making 10,000 a day. The UK is probably doing about 3,000 a day at the moment. It depends on the mix and it depends on the size of the transfer as well. It's getting pretty big. It's getting a lot bigger than
us. Yeah. Is your team weeding everything too? Like,
No.
Okay. I was gonna say, just thinking about that.
It's almost a million a month. Rough numbers. Yeah.
And it's growing. It's growing really, really.
It's really,
really quickly. Absolutely no weeding, just to clarify that. You know, it's that's where the whole screen printing process comes into place, and you know, allows sense. Us to make them quickly. Yeah.
So what about on the education side? How do you help shops be able to use transfers to drive more sales? Right? Or is it efficiency thing where it's like, nah, we don't really want to screen print this, we'll use heat transfers?
There's so many ways to attack it. I think that if you're talking specifically about a screen print shop, then I'll let Mike answer that first, and then I can tell you how other people can incorporate it into their business.
One of the fascinating things about Printavo, Bruce, is like you guys are helping shops organize and save time. And ultimately, the one thing that most people don't value in their screen printing business is time, their time, or their employees' time. They look at the cost of things. They look at the cost of, I don't know, Supercolor. They look at the cost of inks. They look at the cost of emulsions, but they never really attack that time piece. You're selling time saving, you know, like you organize a shop and then all of a sudden you pull a whole lot of chaos out of the thing and then you make something a little bit easier. And so Supercolor is a similar thing, right? Because all the screen printing shops and all of the branding shops in the world have gaps in their equipment. And so you might have two screen printing carousels, but then you might have a heat press. And so there's jobs that you're not going to want to put on those carousels because you can only go up to 8 colors, or then you've got to go to a simulator process. Then you super color. You might have an embroidery shop where you only embroider and you've got customers that are sitting there and they're saying to you, oh, you know, we want to print this on the back, we've got to ship it to the guy down the road. So that can, you can extend the capability of the shop quite easily by a cheap heat press and some super color. The DTG guys, like once you get over sort of like 20 or 30 units on a larger area, Supercolor is way more cost competitive and it's quicker to print. And so what this does is this basically just helps people save time and start being able to do things efficiently, making sure that they're not sort of wasting time on just dealing with the machinery that they've got. So that's a bit of the Swiss Army knife of things that we were talking about before, right? Like depending on what your shop format looks like will depend entirely on how Supercolor fits into your shop. And then you get the fanatics, like we are at Embroidery Works a little bit. And like some of our customers, they don't want screen printing anymore, right? It's a one color white print on a t-shirt. And they're like, oh no, don't screen print that. Can you Supercolor that?
Mm-hmm.
And it's like, you know, and that really surprised me because I didn't see that one coming. To give you an idea about Embroidery Works, I've got, before COVID, I used to have around about 90 employees. We run M&R 14 color, 10 color, 6 color, and manual machines. I've got 68 embroidery heads, and we've got probably half a dozen people who are on heat presses. And wow. We run through around about 200, 250 jobs a day. We know what the chaos in a normal screen print branding embroidery shop looks like. And if you haven't got that under control, it's chaos. And this helped us simplify and start doing more economic things.
Cool. Recently, because of masks, have you guys seen an insurgence of the smaller transfers with people doing them on masks?
We have. What we did was we introduced a new size and a new transfer code specifically for masks. One was 2.5 by 2.5. The other one was 1.5 by 4. And originally when we first made the transfer, it was designed as a promo transfer because the first masks that came out were like the Bella Canvas variety that were not really intended for reuse. And then we had to change the chemistry of our transfer to of Supercolor to basically last a little bit longer. So now the version that we have is a limited wash transfer because everybody from like All Made to Port Authority that are making these masks, they all tell you that, you know, after 15, 20 washes, you should be discarding the mask. And so we made the chemistry of the transfer to be the same. We have seen a big pickup of that, but what is really interesting is that it's not the biggest part of our business. It's still the same Supercolor that everybody's been buying. That's been really interesting to us is that, you know, people are continuing to buy it, press it. We're seeing a big surge in the crafter market where you have these one-person shops out of their home or their garage or whatever, and then now they're adding heat presses because they feel empowered with Supercolor to be able to brand from anywhere. And just going back to what Mike was saying, Supercolor is a technical solution for complex problems. And what we allow people to do is to say yes to their customers. There are a lot of different types of garments and products that are very difficult to decorate through embroidery and through screen print. And what Supercolor allows them to do is to attack those garments and decorate them in a very clean way. Take leggings, for instance, that have a lot of stretch, or caps that you want to go over the seam of a cap. If you're an embroidery shop and you only have embroidery, but you want to get into printing, you can just go out and get a heat press in Supercolor and you can brand from anywhere. If you're a screen print shop and you're at capacity and you don't have any more room or any more space, you can go get a couple of heat presses, stick them in the corner, and with Supercolor, you can start branding from right there. So, you know, what we've been able to do is give people more bandwidth and more opportunities to decorate the things that they either haven't been able to do or always wanted to do. And I think that that's really where the power of Supercolor comes into place for, you know, people that are in our space.
That's awesome. What do you guys think the growth is next? What are you guys investing in?
We just, in the New Zealand market, released our metallic transfer, which we're very excited about bringing to the States. Usually, you know, we use New Zealand, Australia as a test market for the US and the UK. But that's what's coming next from us, is you'll start to see specialty Supercolor transfers coming your way soon.
That's awesome. Metallics and fluoros.
Yeah. I wasn't going to give that one away, but since you already did.
It was late. We've taken all the secret sauce and the future.
Yeah. Well, Supercolor Essence will be coming later this year. So.
And I'll tell you one thing that I really took from you guys is when we met at the trade show, you gave every single person there a pack of transfers. And, you know, it's hard to say I do that with all my customers as well, but like, you put it in our hands, we loved it, and then you made it as easy as a couple of clicks to order it. And I think that just goes to show, like, you know, the product is going to sell itself, but that experience that you guys have created, that's what's doing it. And to be frank, I have not heard a single person say a bad thing about you guys. And some of the bigger shops that are normally doing incredibly hard, you know, printing are like, no, we're just going to get the Supercolor transfers. So that's just amazing to you guys, and congrats on all the success. And, you know, hopefully at the next Print Hustlers, when that's in person, we're going to have you all there.
Yeah, for sure. You know, for us, a Supercolor experience has to be a simple one. We want to take the complexity out of transfers in general, or branding in general. So everything from ordering to pressing has to be simple. And that's really where our focus is. How do we make it easy for everybody?
That's awesome, guys. Well, really appreciate you guys spending time with us today. We love just featuring, you know, companies that we see that are really doing something unique. You guys are pushing the limits here. If you guys haven't checked out Supercolor, definitely take a look. It's S-U-P-A and then color, and just Google it. It'll pop right up and you guys can be able to grab samples and order them. But I don't think you'll be disappointed, or else we'll give you Rum and Mike's email. No, but thanks so much for spending time with us, guys. It's been awesome.
Cool. Thank you.
Yeah, thanks so much.